The Gemara quotes three versions of what Rava said regarding bleaching the grain, the kernels of grain, before you grind it to make the flour. So the first version was, even though the Brisa says in the first white line on Mem Amar Aleph, the Brisa starts, Tana Rabban, Ein Losis Im Seorim Mepesach, you're not allowed to bleach the barley grain, because of Meitan et Techonet, so it sounds like only Seorim is a problem. Chitim is not a problem. So the first version was that Rava says you're not allowed to be losis the Pesach period. Not allowed to be losis the Pesach. It's awesome. I bet it says Rava Amar also Liltais. You're not allowed to be losis even Chitim. Elohad Tanya losim Sarim Pesach Sarim Hu Dalah Chitim Shari. Mar says, no, lama by kama, lama by chitin, kivnes, beit siraya. The kernels of grain of wheat have a crack in the middle, where there's no shell. So the water will be idly behu maya. The water will go touch the kernel of grain. Apparently the shell doesn't turn into chum. It's just not bodeh dechimun, it's a brian. Only the kernel itself is bodeh dechimun. So that's a davar pashut that chitim, you're not allowed to bleach because it has a crack in the shell, so the water is going to touch the kernel of grain. Avol sorim dishi, but barley grains are smooth. There is no crack in the middle. Ema, one might have said shapadami muta. That's kamash malon. The brisa tells you that it's not so. Even sorim is also chitim is certainly also. So that was the first version. Hoda amar rabba backs out, and then hoda amar rabba backs out a second time. The Gemara has in different places that rabba, I think more so than other Amoraim, Rava would give a public shiur, psak halacha, and then he would have charata, and he would announce in public, he was very intellectually honest. So Leji used to speak about that. Rabbanim have to be intellectually honest. He told the story about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was appointed, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the granddaughter of the Netziv, and then the Netziv appointed him as the Kovrash Yeshiva. So people had tainus that he wasn't roy lekach, that he wasn't worthy of being appointed a Rosh Yeshiva, because he does not know how to learn. Abchaim Soloveitchik does not learn, and it's only nepotism. The Netziv appointed him as Rosh Yeshiva because he married his granddaughter. So the board of directors of the Volozhin Yeshiva said they're going to come and investigate. So the board of directors was not like the board of YU. The board consisted of alumni, big rabbanim who had big positions in Europe, rabbinical positions, who had smicha from Volozhin Yeshiva. So they came and they said, let him get up and say a shiur, and we'll decide whether he's worthy of giving a shiur. So Rav Chaim got up and he prepared a shiur. And then he was saying a pilpul on a Rambam. And in the middle of this shiur, Rav Chaim realized that there's a pirush ha-mishnayis la Rambam somewhere that contradicts what he was saying. At different times, the Rav said it all, but differently, he didn't remember exactly what the topic was. On one occasion, he thought the shiur was on Yevamos about idleness. And the first paragraph about idleness, other occasion, he said something else. He wasn't sure. But he remembered this. He had some difficult Rambam, and he had a Mahalach and the Rambam. But then, as he was in the middle of delivering the shiur, he realized there's a Pirush HaMishnayis, which the listeners were certainly not familiar with, but he realized that it contradicted everything that he had to say. So he said in the middle, he made a mistake. There's a Pirush HaMishnayis contradicts everything that he says, and he sat down. So he could have fooled the public into saying his Shtikal Torah, but he was intellectually honest, and he said he made a mistake. So the board of directors decided that if the man is so honest that he can sit, this is the shiur that's going to either make or break him. That's going to determine whether he's worthy of being appointed Rosh Yeshiva or not. And still, he was honest enough to say that he made a mistake and the whole Shtikal Torah is false. So they felt that that's the man who should be appointed Rosh Yeshiva. So he was appointed. So the Rav, every so often, would also, he would give a shiur, or sometimes he would give a psak, and then he would come in the next week, or sometimes the next year or years later, and say, Dvarim shamati befnechem toi sein biyadi. He would admit that he made a mistake. So you find it, I think, by Rav more so than other Amoraim. So here, Rav backed out twice. So the Gemara says, Hoder Amar Rava. Later Rava said, no, it must be Mutal Liltos. Why? the Tanya, we have a brisa that we had earlier on Lamed Zayinim and Aleph. Yotzim bepasnikia or behadra, either one or the other. Pasnikia means very clean flour, and hadra means pashanital kol hadora. It's not so clean. So how can it be pasnikia? So it must be that they bleached. It must be that it's bleached flour, that they washed off the kernels of grain before they ground it up. Rapapa said it's not necessarily a conclusive proof, because in the Chumash it says that you have to bring from Menachas, you have to bring solas. Solas means clean flour. And the Amoraim say, in the name of Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, Chidim Shal Menachas, Ein Losis and Mosim. You're not allowed to do Lesisa. And you're not allowed to do Lesisa, and still it can be solas, it can be clean, correlate solas. So you see that it's not a contradiction. So Robert, that's, I think, Rapapa, Esve Rapapa, the Robert. Just because the din is it has to be solas, it has to be pasnakia, doesn't necessarily mean that it has to have lesisa. It can be solas even without doing lesisa. So he wasn't so convinced of Rava's argument. Rava wanted to prove that it's muta lilsas. But then Hadar Amar Rava, later Rava's third position, his final position was, and this was his maskana, Hadar Amar Rava, that it's a mitzvah liltas. How did it become all of a sudden mitzvah liltas? Mitzvah liltas shenema. Shmartam is ha-matzahs, you need shmura matzah. And shmura means shima mechimutz. Shima mechimutz only makes sense if you're doing something risky, that it may become chametz, and you do it quickly in such a way you prevent it from becoming chametz. So if you're going to say it's osa liltois, so you didn't do anything risky at all. So what is the shmur all about? What does it help to? What do you have to watch it for? There's no chashash. I maybe all it means by shmura matzah is that it should. Who says the shmata masa matzahs mean shima mechimutz? That's what the Rambam writes. And Rashi writes that it means asiya lishma. So the Gemara says, who says that it means shima mechimutz? And therefore, Rob is proving that it must be that it's a mitzvah liltos, and you have to put the kernels of grain into a risky situation by washing them off. You have to be loisesit in order to do shima mechimutz. Maybe it just means I'll see the shema when you bake it. So he says, no, it can't be, because we have this din that Amoraim said, the Betzei Kishon Nochrim, the Nochri did the Lisha. So even if we do the Afia, it sounds like it's no good. Even though we see the Batzik is not Chometz, and we can bake it to shema, so apparently doing the afiyah lishma is not sufficient. That's what the Gemara says.
Call from Baruch Elburst.
The level shimor me afiyah lielach.
Call from Baruch Elburst.
One should do the afiyah lishma. Let a Jew take over in the middle after the Nochri did the lisha. Let the Jews take over and do the afiyah. Elav shmamino. Shima meikarabinon. That's not enough, just afiyah lishma. So you see that afiyah lishma is not sufficient. You need shimur previously. And what it means, shimur? Means shimur. Shima mechimut means you're doing something risky, that it may become chametz, and you're careful that it shouldn't become. So it's a raya, the Gemara says, so it's a raya that you need lesisa. Mitzvah lilta. So the Gemara says, what kind of a raya? Dil mashayin hosam. Maybe what you do that's risky is not the lesisa that you do before you even grind the kernels of grain to make it into flour. Maybe what you do that's risky is the lisha. You pour in water. So you pour in water into the flour. And if you don't hurry up, if you don't do it quickly, it's going to turn into chametz. So they don't understand Rava's proof. So the Gemara says, Afil Hachi, three lines from the bottom of Afil Hachi, even though there's room to argue with Rava, who says that from that memra of the Tzekel Shal Nochem, Adam Amalek Reis Mehem, Vatshech, Okazayis Matzah Bachreina, means that you can't take the Tzekel Shal Nochem and bake it to make it Lishma. That's not enough. You have to have it earlier. So you see that it's not enough. Afiyah Lishma. Afiyah Lishma is the Asiyah Samatzah. Afiyah Lishma is the Asiyah Samatzah. So you see that you need Shima Mechimutz earlier. It's not enough Afiyah Asiyah Samatzah. You need shima mechimot, so it's a raya that you need lisisa. So the Gemara says, what kind of a proof? Maybe you need lisha. And the lisha, you have to have shima mechimot. So the Gemara says, Even though Rabbah's proof is not really so gewaldig, Rabbah did not back out because they should do Shmurim Mishas Ketzirah. That's where it comes from, this Gemara. So in Shulchan Aruch it says Shmurim Mishas Ketzirah is a big chumer. You don't need Shmurim Mishas Ketzirah. It's really enough if you do Shmurim Mishas Lisha. It's a chumer to satisfy Rabbah's opinion. That's why when they bake all of the Pesach Digamatzes, Rabbi Blazer Silver used to give the Hashgacha years ago when they first started the Manashevitz Matzes in America. I think that was the first matzah company where they made machine-made matzah. So Rabbi Blazer Silver gave the Hashgacha with a group of other rabbanim. So he said they should bake, when they push the button to bake all the matzahs, they should have a mind lishma on all the matzah, because Ruba de Ruba, most of the Jews in America are not going to use Shmura matzah. They're going to use Pshuta matzah. Shmura matzah is much more expensive than Pshuta. So Mikra din, you don't need Shmura Mishas Ketzir, it's enough Shmura Mishas Lisha. And this is a Chumra. It's an expensive Chumra. This is a Chumra. Okay. So that's what the Gemara says. So we mentioned, yes, this is where we left off yesterday. They mentioned that Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pri Chodesh and makes the following distinction. The Gemara says that a Nochri cannot do Asir Lishma. The Gemara has a Loshon. A Nochri cannot write a Get Lishma, and the Nochri Adaita the Nafshika of it. And here the Gemara says the Nochri cannot make the Tzekel Shal Nochri. And watch the Jews who are there with them. They see that it's not chametz, so you're allowed to eat it on Pesach. Adam and Malik raise a man. However, you can't be yotzei matzah. Even if you'll take over, you'll take the rod down, you'll bake it. It's still not enough. So you see that the nochri did the betzeker shal nochrim. That's not good because it wasn't lishma. The asiyah was not lishma. So why can a nochri not think lishma? So that's what we quoted. Rab Chaim quotes in the name Rab Simcha Zelig. Whoever is Zeinu B'Torah cannot create Lishma. Fine. So by a get you need Lishma. And by Tfilin, by Sefer Torah, you need Ksiva Lishma. And he needs the Asiyah Lishma. So what if the Israel will instruct the Nochri? It says in the Torah we have to have Matzah and it has to be Kosher LePesach. When you have to have in mind that you're doing it. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, still no good. Even Yisrael Amir Agabov, Machloik is the Rambam and the Rosh, but let's say according to the Rambam, even Yisrael Amir Agabov is no good, because the one is you need Ibud Lishma, let's say on the parchment on which you write the Tefillin and the Mezuzah, the Sefer Torah, the Gemara says you need Ibud Lishma. So even if the Nochri does the Ibud with Yisrael Amir Agabov, so the Rambam says it's still no good. You need the one who's doing the Ibud has to do the Ibud Lishma. It does not be Solom and Agabov. So even though it's no good for a get, it's Solom and Agabov, and the Goy is going to write the get Lishma, and it's no good for the Asiyah Samatzah, but for the Shmurim Mishas Ketzirah, if the Goy does the Ketzirah and the Mashgiach is watching, that's good enough. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes at Pri Chodesh. Why is there a distinction between the Lishma from Mishas Ketzirah and the Lishma of the Afiyah, and the Lishma of the Lisha, and the Lishma of the Ibud by the collapse of the end. So Pashtus is, Ketziras HaTvuah is not the beginning of Asiyas HaMatzah. Lisha v'Afiyah, that's the Asiyas HaMatzah. So you need Asiyah Lishma. So Nochri is Adai to the Nafshi Kovit, since the Nochri is Zeinu B'Torah. The Nochri doesn't have the mitzvah of eating matzah. He cannot create Lishma. But Shmurim Shas Ketzira, the Pashtus and the Pri Chodesh is that doesn't mean Asiyah Lishma. Here the Gemara says, Rava told Hano the Mahapchi Kipi, those who toss over the bundles of grain, Kim Hapchisu, when you make a bundle of grain and you toss it, carry from one place to the other, Hafichu Lishum Mitzvah. What does it mean, Hafichu Lishum Mitzvah? That's called Asiyah Lishma. When you harvest the grain and when you make a bundle, it's not called the Asiyas HaMatzah. It doesn't begin till the Lisha. The Lisha of Afiyah, that's the Asiyas HaMatzah. The Ketzirah is a prerequisite. You can't grind it up before you harvest it. But the Ketzirah is not. It's part of Sidur the Pas. Okay, there are 39 Malachas on Shabbos. First 11 Malachas are called Sidur the Pas. It's part of Sidur the Pas, but I'll be Pashtus. Asiyas HaMatzah. We had that Rabbi Natam on Lamed Ches on the base. said that in order to make lechem, there are two moments that count, either the lisha or the afia. So you can say lisha, the afia, the sinas hamayim, when you mix the mortar with the flour, that's the lisha, and the afia, that counts. The lisha of afia counts. So that has to be lishmo. But the ksira doesn't need lishmo. So when the Gemara has the lashon ki hafichu, hafichu lishum mitzvah, Pashta says it just means have in mind that you're going to use it on Pesach. You should have shima mechimetz, but it does mean that you need asir lishmo. Pashta says you don't need asir lishmo. So that's why if the nochri does it, we saw la meragabov. So you have to have a hashgach. You have to have a Jewish mashgiach supervising. So then it's called shimur shmura. There are two parts to shmura. You need asir lishmo and you need shima mechimetz. So the Shema, Mechimot, Rava, we're Machma like Rava. Mikra, then it's not really so. The Machma like Rava is wild chumah, that you need Shmura Mishas Ketzira. But the Asir Lishma then only begins with the Lisha. The Lisha Ve'afir has to be Lishma. And the rest is just Shema Mechimot. That's all Pi Pashtos. Okay. What does the Gemara continue on the top line? A mem on the base. Ahu arba. Once upon a time, there was a boat. Arba dechiti. There was a boat that had kernels, sacks of kernel of grain. The tova bechishta. Chishta is the name of a river. So the boat sank in the river. Rashi writes, chishta shema nohar. And tova a week, a month before Pesach. So the boat sank, part of the boat sank in the river, and the sack of kernels of grain was soaking in the water. So Sharia Rabba the Zabuna the Nachm. Rabba said you can't use it for Pesach. Maybe some of the kernels of grain that were soaking in water for days. So maybe some of the kernels of grain became chametzik. So we're going to grind it up. The flour is going to be chametzik. So he said sell it to the Nachm. So the Gemara says how can you sell it to the Nachm? Esvei Rabba Bali Boyle Rabba. They asked the Kasha. There is a Mishnah that says not a Mishnah, Bryson. Okay. There is a brisa that says, "Beged shall be baklaim hariz alaim keren ala nochri." If you have a beged shall pishton, it is one chut of tzema was put in. So one chut of tzema makes the whole beged into shatna, so you can't wear it. But here it's a beged shall be baklaim. I have a whole beged shall pishton, and there's one chut of tzema somewhere, and I don't remember where the chut of tzema is. It got lost. So that's what Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Why don't you say that it should be bottled berais? Here they tell you on the side of the Gemara on the left hand margin. Look in the Tosis in Chulin Daf Tzadikei, and the same Tosis appears in Nidan Daf Samach Aleph and Beis, but two different answers. Why don't you say that the Chut Shel Tzemer? I can't locate where it is. So why not say that it's Batel Berayv? So I should consider it as if it doesn't exist, and it should be Mutter for a Jew. What are you talking about selling it to a Goy? The Jew should be allowed to wear the Beged. Because it got lost. So that's a discussion in Taisus. Is this a din d'araisa that you don't say bitul b'raiv? Or do you say maybe it's only a chumer mid'rabban that I consider a beged shal pishton, because the one chut of tzemer got lost in the beged shal pishton, a one chut of pishton got lost in the beged shal tzemer, but I don't know where it is. So maybe minatari say it is bitul b'raiv, it's only a chumer mid'rabban. So that's a contradiction between these two Taisus. Taisus in Nida, Samach Aleph, and Beis, and Taisus in Chulin, and Daf Tzadikei and Aleph. One Taisus says that it's not bottle minatur, one Taisus says it's only not bottle midrabon. When you learn Yeredeya, the Shach talks about this. Why don't you say bitl beroid? So I'll call upon it, what's it did? A beg job, but climb, you're not allowed to wear it, either minatur midrabonon. So you're not allowed to sell it to a nochri. Why are you not allowed to sell it to a nochri? So some misunderstood, Rashi points it out. We had this Rashi already earlier. Some misunderstood, and they thought that just like kilay hakerem is also bano, so kilay begodim is also bano. So hariz aloyim keren ala nachri, because it's also bano. When it says in the Chumash, amachal anachri, the Gemara proved that the gerish avshach dinan vachal amachal anachri, you see that it's muta bano. See that the nevela, the sechakon nevela, the gerish avshach dinan vachal amachal anachri, see it's muta bano. So here it says, loyim keren ala nachri, loyim asenem adas lachamor. So they thought that that's what it means, that it's also bano. So Rashi said that's a joke. That's not correct. There is no such thing that kloi begodim is also bano. Harei zalom keren al nochri is a different reason why. because the Nochem may resell it to a Jew, and the Jew will not realize that it has shatness in it. So that's the top Tosis picks up on that. I may read the Dafke Bikalai Mavudim also lasses ma'am, Mardas Lachem. Are you not allowed to sell to a Goy? Because the Goy may resell it to a Jew, and the Jew won't realize that it has shatness, because it says that the whole Beged is all Tzemer, the whole Beged is all Pishtim. There's only one Chut that's opposite, and it got lost. We don't know where it is. We don't know which Chut is the opposite that makes it shatness. They're not allowed to sell it to a Goy. The Goy may resell it to a Jew. That's why. It's mutabano. Keloi b'godim is mutabano. But not allowed to make it madas lachamor because someone by mistake may use it as a beged. Why should he use it as a madas lachamor? He may decide to use it. He'll forget that it's shatness and he'll use it as a beged on himself. Yeah. Why is it mutter to use it as a madas lachamor? The answer is, I bet you're going to sit on the madas. So isn't that functioning like a beged? So the answer is, the Gemara says, no, there are two psukim regarding shatnes. One pasuk, beged klam shatnes, lo yalo alecho, and lo silba shatnes. So there's an isa levisha, and there's an isa ha'alo'a. The isa levisha means you're not allowed to wear shatnes. It's clothing, underwear or clothing. And lo yalo alecho means you're not allowed to have, let's say, a blanket. You're going to use a blanket that's made from shatnes. It's not called levisha. Levisha, I wear my pajamas at night. But the blanket is an isa ha'aloa. Let's say you sit in a barber's chair and they put an apron on all of the customers so the clothing won't get all full of the hair, the particles of hair. So if the garment, if the cloth apron that they put on the customers having the haircut is made from shatnes, it's not an isa levisha, but it's an isa ha'aloa. So ha'aloa is awesome. The Rambam holds that there's a major, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, we spoke about it. The Rambam holds that there's a major difference between Levisha and Ha'aloh. Levisha is Osir, even you don't get any Hanoah from it. But Ha'aloh is only Osir, if it's Ha'aloh, she'esh ba Hanoah. So let's say the store has two branches, and the two branches are 5 blocks away from each other, and one store ran out of dresses. So they call up and they say, please send us 20 dresses from the other branch. This store, so someone walks in the street, the 20 dresses on his back, all the dresses have shatness in them, and the guy's wearing it on his back, is he in violation of ha'aloh? So ha'aloh is only us, if it's ha'aloh, she'esh ba'hanoh. Is he getting ha'aloh? So if it's freezing, if it's cold outside, and he's carrying the 20 dresses, and he's not wearing a coat, and he's walking outside with the 20 dresses on his back, intending the dresses will keep me warm. So that's ha'aloh, she'esh ba'hanoh, so that you're not allowed to do. But if it's a hot day and he's schmaltzing away from the heat and he doesn't enjoy the fact that he's carrying all these dresses, so then that's called ha'aloh shnei bahanoh. So that will be mutter. Most of the Rishonim hold that Levisha is also only also if it's Levisha sheyesh bahanoh. Let's say a person tries on a suit just to see if it fits. And then if it fits, he's going to buy it and have it altered by his tailor in his neighborhood. So he's just trying on the suit to see if it fits. He's not that he. So that's levisha she'ein bo hanoah. Hanoah means hanoah's levisha, not the hanoah. If it fits, then I'm going to buy it. That hanoah is not. So that's a machlekes. According to the Rambam, that's also levisha is prohibited, even levisha she'ein bo hanoah. And according to Rav Harishanim, it's mutam. So Chacham Avadya writes that the Sfardim are always more concerned about the Rambam than Ashkenazim are. Because all the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. So Ashkenazim would allow it. They would permit the trying on the suit, even though it Vaday has shatness in it. And by the Sfardim, Chacham Avadya says, if you know Bavadai that it has shatness, then you have to be choshish for the Rambam. That Levisha, She'em Bahano, is also. But if you're not sure if it has shatness, then he thinks he can be mekel based on his sveksveker. Maybe it doesn't have any shatness, and even if it does have shatness, maybe the din is not like the Rambam. And other Sfardim are not prepared to consider that a sveksveker. Well, what do you mean? Maybe the din is not like the Rambam? They swear by the Rambam. Everything by them, they follow the Rambam. So others are not happy with Chacham Avadya's sveksveker. Okay. So there are two prohibitions in shatness. There's an Issa Levisha, there's an Issa Ha'aloa. So the Gemara has a comment. That's where the Taptai quotes. Beged klam shatnes lo yale olecha. You're not allowed to do levisha, lo silba shatnes. So you're not allowed to do ha'aloh to use it as a blanket. What about to use it as a sheet to sleep on top of it? It's neither levisha nor ha'aloha. So the Gemara says lahatzia tachtav is mutam in haTorah, but it's also mederabbanan. And why shemitei chorachalal nima? The sheet on the bed doesn't always stay where it belongs. Sometimes in the middle of sleeping, this sheet on the bed gets loose, and part of the sheet will curl up on top of my legs. So it'll turn out that I violated ha'aloh on the shatan. So you're not permitted to do lahatziya tachtav, to put shatnas as a sheet on the bed. Shemet yichorech lo nima. What if there are two? What do you call it? What if there are two? What do you sleep on?
Mattress.
The mattress. What if you have two mattresses, one on top of the other? I'm sleeping on top of the top mattress, and this is a sheet on the bottom mattress. So how can it be shemet yichorech lo nima? So the Gemara says it's exerid the rabbana shemet yichorech lo nima. So they made a loy plug rabbana. Afila esam atzo zu agabizu. Even if there are 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, and this is the sheet on the bottom mattress. No one's sleeping on the bottom mattress. They're sleeping on the top mattress, the 10th mattress on top. Also, it's also in the rabbana. So how can it say over here, in Laya Senamadas Lachamo, you're not allowed to use the Beged Kilayim Shatna, the Shatna's piece of cloth, as a Madas Lachamo is going to sit on that? Why do they have to prohibit it? Because of the Gezerah, because of the Chashash. They may forget that it has Shatna's, and they may use it to cover their body. They may use it as a Levisha. Why don't you just say, Hatziya Tachtav is Asar? It's Asar Mede Rabbana, Shem Piti Choroch Lanima. The Tosfos says no, that this Gezerah de Rabbana Shemit Yichorech LaNima doesn't apply. Tosfos quotes, "Avagad the main pihar kamer the beitz that what afilas matzal zol gabizu also Shemit Yichorech LaNima al b'sarai maybe they'll curl up and cover him." So, by madas lachama erin legilim lichorech kolkach. So they never made that Gezerah by madas lachama, but they made a different Gezerah by the madas. The Gezerah is that Shema, he'll forget that it has shatnas, and he'll use it to make a beged out of it. Fine. So again, so what does it say? It's a brisa, I guess. It's not a mishnah. It's a brisa and says beged shava by klaim, either men are termed or abundant. For some reason or another, it's not bottled. That's an important discussion. Why? But not for now. I raise a loim kiren al enochi. Not allowed to sell to enochi. It's muta bano. Kiloi begodim is muta bano. But he's not allowed to sell it to enochi because of lifnei iver. Because enochi may go and resell it to a Jew. What does Rashi say? Rashi and Tosfos both say, "Oy Mary, what does Tosfos say? The top line: Dapke b'klayim avudim. If it's ain't a nikar, also las ma'am adas lachem Hashem yasen. But if it's nikar, avav klayim eduim, shari, the Jew will see that it's shatnas. So he won't has says on the label what it is. So you can tell by looking at the material. You can tell what it is. So this is a din. It's a din mishum lefneiva. Either is a gemara in avodah zarah in the first parak." That lifnei v'lisiti michshel only applies if it's lifnei, but not lifnei. The lifnei is mutir. I'm selling it to a non-Jew, and there's a concern the non-Jew may resell it to a Jew, and the Jew will be in violation of wearing, and the Jew won't realize that he sold them chametz, he sold them flour. It's kemach men ashuk. He won't realize. He's not going to tell him the whole story that this sack of flour, this sack of chitim, was soaking in the river for a couple of days, and it may be that a lot of the kernels of grain are chametz. The goy is not going to tell him the whole story. So the goy may resell it to the Jew. So when I sell it to the goy, I'm not yet in violation of lifnei iver. The goyim can eat chametz with Pesach. The concern is the goy may resell it to a Jew. So it doesn't the Gemara say in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, alifnei mifkedinan, alifnei delifnei loy mifkedinan. There's no violation of lifnei iver and lifnei iver. Lifnei iver and lifnei iver. I'm selling it to a goy who may resell it to a Jew. That's twice removed from the one who's doing the aver. So the Rishonim asked that kasha in Avodah Zarah. So Rabban Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the Tosfos Rid and Avodah Zarah. That was one of his strongest mesichtas, Avodah Zarah. So Rabban Soloveitchik said over the Tosfos Rid, says in Avodah Zarah, the only time lifnei de lifnei is mutter, there's no din of lifnei iver. That's only if the one who's going to do the aver is doing it b'mezid. But if over here, the Jew is not going to know that there's shatnas in the beged. And the Jew won't know that this kernels or grain may be chametz. So if the aver is going to be done b'shogeg, that's a real isav lifnei v'lesitei michshol. The fellow's not even going to rear. He's going to do the aver b'shogeg. The Gemara has a chiddush. Ben Noach comes and he requests an Ev Menachai. A Nozer knows that he's a Nozer who's not allowed to drink wine. And he comes to the liquor shop and he wants to buy a bottle of wine. He wants to drink it himself. So that's a chiddush. That's also lifnei iver l'sitim. Why is it lifnei iver? He knows what he's doing. Lifnei iver is when the fellow, when the chayte is doing b'shogeg. So the Gemara had a tradition. That's also lifnei iver. But the main lifnei iver is if the Baal Aver is going to be doing the Aver b'shogeg. So we distinguish that's what the Tosfos Ritz says. If the Baal Aver, if the one is going to do the Aver, may do the Aver b'shogeg, so then it's even prohibited if it's twice removed, even if it's lifnei de lifnei. But if the one is going to do the Aver, is going to be doing it b'mezid, so then the Gemara has a limit. It's only lifnei if you're directly dealing with the one who's going to do the Aver. If it's twice removed, lifnei de lifnei, then there's no prohibition. Right? So that's what they asked Rabbi. How can you say, shor lezabun elenachrim? How are you permitted to sell the sack of chitim that was soaking in the river for a whole week? How can you sell it to a guy? The guy may resell it to the Jew and be a violation of lifnei b'nesikdei michshol. So the Gemara says, you're right. My time, why not allow to sell to a guy? He may resell it to a Jew. Hadar amar Rabbi. Rabbi backed out and he said, you're right. You're not allowed to sell to a guy. So what should they do? Lizbeninu kaba kamali Yisrael. Sell a little bit at a time to a Jew and tell him, we are concerned this flour, these chitim that we're selling you, may be chametz there because they were soaking in the river for a week. So make sure you finish eating it before Pesach. So sell a little bit at a time. A kav is a small amount. So kav, a kav, so to each, sell a kav to each Jew, enough that he'll finish, he'll finish eating all of it before Pesach. Fine, that's the solution. So what it says, you're not allowed to use the begat shavu baklayim. Not allowed to sell it to a non-Jew because the miri sell it to the Jew. Belief neiver. You're not allowed to make a madas lachamar because you may forget. It's kshatnes eino yodua. It's not niker because the chut shel pishtan got lost over here. The chut shel tzema got lost over here. So you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to make a madas lachamar because you may forget, someone may forget, and then they'll use it for gun. So what should you do with it? I will also awesome tachrichim lemeis. Ah, you may later on take it and use it for your own begodim. So that's what Rashi explains. Now, once you're designated as tachrichim for the meis, so there's a din, a meis osa bahanoa, and mishamshe ha meis harasa bahanoa. Meis osa bahanoa, the Gemara learns that what from the Xerisha v'shamsha me'eg la'rufa. It says, v'atamashe Miriam etikov v'sham. It says, when Miriam died, she was buried there, sham, in the place where she was buried, where she died. And it says, v'ofu shamas egla banacha, by egla rufa. And egla rufa is osa bahanoa. So since it says sham, by egla rufa, sham by Miriam, after she died and she was buried, so that's how you know that the meis is osa bahanoa. Yeah. How do you know that egla rufa is osa bahanoa? So the Gemara says, no, kaporek siba kikotchim. Egla rufa, when you bring an egla rufa, if you find a person was murdered in Eretz Yisrael, only applies in Eretz Yisrael, you have to measure motor del harmasha svivis acholo. You have to measure to the cities that are closest, that seems to be closest to the harug. If a person died from a heart attack, you don't have a din of egla rufa, only if he was murdered. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. You have to measure to the cities that are competing with each other. You don't know which is the closest city. So you measure to determine which is the closest city. The closest city has to be an egla rufa, and they get a kapara. So it says the kohanim from that city that's bringing the egla rufa have to recite kapalam chesosha padis Hashem. So the Gemara says kapara ksiba kikachim, just like when you bring karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash, when the kohanim bring karbonis, the mechaper, so here the egla rufa is mechaper, so they should say kapalam chesosha padis Hashem. So since kapara ksiba kikachim, Egla Ruf itself is not Hegdish. Egla Ruf itself is not Hegdish. But since it says Kapal Am Chesos, so just like Hegdish is Osa Ba'ano, so the Egla Ruf is also Osa Ba'ano. So that's a question that Mishnah Melech is not so sure whether the Gemara meant this as a real Drosha Gemura, that a Mace is Osa Ba'ano Minatar. Maybe the whole thing is only an Asmachta. This is Bekama Mekaimus says that it's a real Drosha Gemura. So the Mishnah Melech says, yeah, these Ashkenazi rabbis, they assume that it's a real drushing, but he's not so convinced. he's wondering, the Mishnah Melech was a Sfardi. So he's wondering, does everybody agree that the Meis HaSabana is an Issa Deraisa? Maybe it's only the Rabbana. And then even if one assumes like Tosis that a Meis HaSabana is a Din Deraisa, what about Mishamshi HaMeis? That the Tachrichim become HaSabana as well. So Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva where he quotes that that's a machlokes and achrenim from before his time, where Rabbi Kivega lived in the early 1800s. So from the earlier generations, there was a beferish machlokes achrenim, even on the assumption like Tesis assumes that the meis osmanos and isa deraisa, it doesn't necessarily follow that the mishamshe hameis, that the tachricham will be osmano minater. But I'll call upon him the tachricham are osmanos. So the Gemara says you are permitted to make tachricham for a meis, because once you use it for tachrichim, it's going to be osmano, so you can't possibly, no one's going to use it again to make a beged out of it. If you make it a madas lachamar, you can always change your mind and use it as a beged. And then you may be the lucky winner. You may be wearing the shatnas, and you'll be in violation of shatnas. But once you use it as tachrichim lameis, so you're not going to be allowed to use it for any other purpose. So there's no chashash that he's going to make a beged out of it. Here, Tosis has a famous kasha. There is a Gemara in Menachos. Tosis quotes klei kufsa. Klei kufsa means I have a talus in the drawer. I bought a talus and it's sitting in the package in the kufsa. I didn't wear it yet. So am I chayef to put on tzitzis the moment I possess a four cornered garment? Also, I'm tzitzis hakan for big day. Gdilin tassel chalaba kamfus ksuscha asher techaseb. Asher techaseb means is oimid lekisui, or it means no, only when you wear it. If you have a four-cornered garment that you're not wearing, you plan to wear it. He bought a talus to wear after he gets married, but he didn't get married yet. They didn't get engaged yet. He bought a talus. He bought a talus to be ready in the future. Is he mechuyev to put tzitzis? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, where the klei kufsa chayav mitzitz, we paskin, you're not mechuyev. You're not mechuyev. Even according to the opinion that klei kufsa chayav mitzitzis, the Gemara said that's only if it's oimid lelevisha mechayim. If he bought this talus and he plans to wear it after he gets married. What if he bought a talus specifically for the purposes of being buried in the talus? He's never going to wear the talus. Only he wants to be buried with this fancy talus. So the Gemara says that everyone agrees that you're not chayv in tzitzis. Let's say I have a sheet, a four-cornered sheet. Four-cornered sheet is not a beged. It's mekabel tuma, like a kli. Okay, it's a kli to be mekabel tuma purposes, for Kabbalah's tuma purposes, but it's not called a beged that you chayv and tzitzis in unless gedilim tassel chalaba kamfas kusra she techasebo. If you plan to wear it during your lifetime, if you plan, if zoken means an older person is holding by the end, and he made a talis zoken asol lefichrodo. He prepared tachrichim. He prepared four-cornered garments as tachrichim to be buried in. So the Gemara says, even if you hold klei kufsa chayv and tzitzis, which we don't paskin anyway, but even if you would hold like that, that's only if the beged is zaymed lelevisha mechayim. But if it's zaymed to be used as tachrichim, then no one holds that it's chayv and tzitzis right away. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Gemara Menachos. But then the Gemara adds on a line, hahu shaita. But when the guy actually does die, lemaisa he does die, and they bury him with the four corner garment, then the Gemara says you have to put on tzitzis. Cause man that he's alive, and he's chayv in mitzvahs, he's not mechuyev to put on tzitzis because not oimid lelevisha mechayim. So it's missing the condition. Alaba kamfusus hashet techasebo. The three words hashet techasebo are not being fulfilled. If it's oimid lelevisha lachamisa. But after he dies, then the Gemara says, "Aishaita." After he died, then vade ramin alei. Then you do tie in chutei tzitzis in the beged. Why? Because otherwise, loig l'rosh cherev haseil. You're being mevazer the meis by demonstrating. Rashi quotes the pasuk that says, "Meisim chavshim." A pasuk in Navi. Once a person is meis, nashu chavshim in a mitzvah. It's not mechuyev in any mitzvahs anymore. But if you're going to put on a beged, a four cornered beged on a meis, and not put on tzitzis, then it's you're demonstrating openly that the guy is potam in a mitzvah. So that's loig l'rosh cherev haseil. The poor man is dead. The dead people are called the rosh. And if you make fun of the poor man, it's as if you've been mevazer the Rebbeinu Shlom. Loig l'rosh cherev haseil. As if you're cursing Zifya Mavaza the Rabban Shalom, because Rabban Shalom is the one who decided that the guy should die. So the Gemara has such a din. You're not allowed to put a beged with four corners without tzitzis on the mace. So Tosfos says, bother with a murderous kasha. You're not allowed to put a beged without tzitzis on the mace, but to put shatnas on the mace, that is mutter. What happened to the din of loig l'rosh cher, if I say? So this kasha, the Rabbi Natam and his brother, the Rashbam, have two different answers. Rashbam is the older brother. He used to learn with Rashi all the time. And usually he does not disagree with Rashi. And the Rabbi Natam was a little boy when Rashi died. And he often disagrees with Rashi. He didn't take it so seriously what Rashi has to say. He'll change the girsa, not like Rashi. He'll disagree with Rashi. Pshat, give a whole different pshat. So here the Rashbam gave an answer and the Rabbi Natam gave a different answer. Rashbam gave an answer that in order to violate the Issa Kelayim, it has to be Levisha Sheesh Bo Hanoi. That was the Machlokes of Rishonim that we said before. The Rambam's opinion is you only need, by Ha'aloh, you need Ha'aloh Sheesh Bo Hanoi. If you're carrying 20 dresses in the summertime and you're schwitzing from it, that's not called Ha'aloh Sheesh Bo Hanoi. If it's in the wintertime and it's chilly, he's not wearing a coat, and he's carrying the 20 dresses on his back in such a way to protect them from the cold. It's not Levisha, it's not wearing the dresses, but it's Ha'aloh Sheesh Bo Hanoi. So there's a Hanoi from the Ha'aloh, that's also. But so the Rashbam's opinion is that that requirement, Ha'aloh Sheesh Bo Hanoi, applies equally to Ha'aloh and to Levisha. So if you're going to dress up the mace with tachrichim of shatnas, the mace doesn't get any, he doesn't have any sensation at all. He's dead. He doesn't have any hanoah at all. So that's levisha she'ein bo hanoah. So levisha she'ein bo hanoah is not a violation of shatnas. So when you're gonna put on the tachrichim of shatnas on the mace, that's not a violation of loig l'rosh cher v'aseihu. If he would have been alive and he would have been wearing the shatnas in such a way that he doesn't get hanoah from, would have also been mutter. And the dead people is absolutely, there's no hanoah at all. There's no hanoah saguf. The mesim don't have any sensation at all. They're hot, they're not hot, they're not cold. They don't have any sensation at all. So it's levisha shem b'hanoah. Masheini came by tzitzis, so why did he put on tzitzis? So the Rashbam finishes off that Masheini came by tzitzis. There is no such requirement that it has to be levisha sheyesh b'hanoah. Even levisha shem b'hanoah is also chay mit tzitzis. So the Balei HaTosfos quote the Rabbi Natam asked his older brother, the Rashbam, what are you talking about? Just like there's a requirement by shatnas that not only Ha'aloh needs Yesh Ba'anoah, Levisha also needs Yesh Ba'anoah. That's a din of Levisha and Kol HaTorah Kula. So regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis, that the only mechuyev in tzitzis, G'dilin Tasel Chava Kam Ksus HaShet Techaseh Bo, the only mitzvah of tzitzis if you do Levisha, so it's only called Levisha if it's Yesh Ba'anoah. So the Rabbi Natam argues with the Rashbam. Why do you put tzitzis in a beged shel mesim? There's no hanoah. The answer is, but by living people, it would have been yesh b'hanoah. So that's a violation of loig l'rosh, because if he would have been alive, it would have been yesh b'hanoah. Now that he's dead, neither the issue of tzitzis is relevant, nor the issue of klaim is relevant, because everything is ein b'hanoah. Nonetheless, that's what the Chachamim said. It'll be a violation of loig l'rosh cherif haseihu, unless you put in tzitzis, so it'll be a loig l'rosh if you won't be careful for shatnas also. So that's a machlokes, the Rashbam and the Rabbein Atam on the level of their Isa. In order to be obligated to wear tzitzis, they need levisha sheyesh b'hanoah. We mentioned, I think, a couple of weeks ago, it's very relevant. A lot of people are still davening in minyanim outside on the weekdays and on Shabbos. So a lot of them on Shabbos, they're wearing three sweaters and a jacket and a coat on top. And then they wear a talus on top of the coat. After you have all the three sweaters and the jacket and the coat, then you put a talus on top. The talus has absolutely no effect whatsoever. It doesn't add ki hu zeh. It doesn't add any warmth to the person. So the question is he mekayem the mitzvah tzitzis when he puts a talus on top of the coat, on top of the jacket, on top of the three sweaters? It's l'chor, it's a levisha shein b'hanoah. So that should depend on the machlokes, the Rashbam, the Rabbi Natam. According to the Rashbam, tzitzis doesn't need levisha sheyesh b'hanoah. Going to Rashbam is good. the person can say a bracha because he's doing labish. But according to Rabbi Natam, they're just like, not only by halah of kalayim, even by labish of kalayim, also you need yesh bahanor. And that din carries over not only to kilayim, it carries over to levisha by tzitzis also. So going to Rabbi Natan, it's very questionable. Can you really say a bracha if you put a talis? He's wearing so many layers of clothing that the talis that he puts on top of the coat, a thick winter coat, doesn't have any effect kihuzeh on the body temperature. So l'chore, that's levisha shein b'hanot. So it should be a machlekes Rabbi Natan the Rashbam where they can say a bracha if you're putting the talis like that. Probably, let's say, if you get dressed at home and you put on a suit, then you put a talus on top of the suit, so that does add warmth, and then you're going to add a coat on top of that. But at the time that I put on the talus, I didn't have the big coat on yet. I just had a sweater and a jacket. Then I put on the talus. So the talus does add warmth. So then once he put it on before the coat, and he said a bracha, that would be okay. But he's going to, Erish, he's only going to put on the talus after he's going to have all the sweaters on, after the coat is on, and it doesn't add any warmth whatsoever. So, l'chore, that should be a question, the Rashbam, the Rabbi Natan, whether you're yotze the mitzvah of tzitzis with a begad shel arba kanfes, that's levisha shein bo hanor. So the Rashbam gave an answer to the kasha. Rashbam answered that tzitzis is a problem because you don't need levisha shein bo hanor for tzitzis. But shatnas is not a problem because even if it be alive, if you have levisha shein bo hanor, there's no problem. So that was the Rashbam's answer. The Rabbi Natan doesn't hold from that answer. He holds that it's not true. He holds that tzitzis also needs levisha shesh banos. So what's the teretz? So Rabbi Natan gives a different answer. He says, with meisim chavshim, the meis is potter mikol hamitzvah, there's no problem. But since kula tzitzis can ege kol hamitzvah kulam, it says, erisim os es chatem es chal mitzvah shem asisem oisam. It says the whole purpose of wearing tzitzis so that's what the Chazal have in common. Shkula mitzvah tzitzis can egg kol mitzvah kulam. So therefore, we're more makbid about the tzitzis for mesim. There's no issue of kilayim for mesim because mesim chavshim, but the tzitzis were more makbid. That's the Rabbi Natan's answer. So these are the two answers that the Tosfos gives. The Maharal Prague has quite a few svarim. So one of his svarim is called the Guri Aryeh. It's a commentary on Rashi al Torah, a super commentary. Rashi has a commentary on Chumash. Maharal Prague's Guri Aryeh is a commentary on, every so often there's a problematic line in Rashi, so the Guri Aryeh talks about it. So the Guri Aryeh on Chumash discusses the Rashi has a comment, Shaul ben Haknanis. Who is Shaul ben Haknanis? So that was Dina's son. Why is she called Haknanis? She was the daughter of Yaakov Avinu because she was raped by Shechem ben Hamor, who was a Knani. So we call her the Knanis. So who was his father? Shaul ben Haknanis. The mother was Dina. So Rashi and Chumash says that the father was Shimon Velevi, with the two brothers who wiped out the whole city, Shechem. Ala Shatimo is Achoisam. So Dina was sort of arrested in the home of Shechem ben Hamor. He attacked her and then he kept her in his home. So when Shimon came and he wiped out the whole city, she was afraid to leave. So she only left if he promised Sheyisa Eno that he would marry her. So the Guri Aryeh raised the question, wait a minute, brother's going to marry a sister. Isn't that from the Arayas? Brother's not allowed to marry a sister. So some suggest that it's a misreading that it should say Sheyasiena. She was afraid to leave the home of Shechem ben Hamor until Shimon promised he's going to get her a Shidduch, Sheyasiena, not Sheyisoena. But if you have the Girsa in Rashi, that's what other Mefarshim said. But if you have the reading in Rashi, Rashi got it from a Medrash. So the question is, what did the Medrash say? So if you have the reading in Rashi, Sheyisan is going to marry her. But we have a tradition, the Gemara says, Ki yim avan avinu kol tarku al atchulay nitno. Because the Pasuk says, Ki daitu the manu she tzav his bon of his Pesach v'lechit v'dach Hashem. So it says he observed all the mitzvahs. Kim Avraham Avinu kol haTorah kulo shelo nitna afilu erev tapshilin or erev etchumin, whatever the gear says, he fulfilled even the dinim derabanan. So we usually assume that not only Avraham Avinu, Gemara only says Kim Avraham Avinu kol haTorah kulo. So the Rishonim assume not only Avraham Avinu, probably Yitzchak and Yankiv, and if Yankiv Avinu did it, probably his children also observed all the mitzvahs. If they observed the mitzvahs, how did Shimon marry his sister Dina if the Torah is going to prohibit it generations later after Maimon HaSinai? So the Guraye has a suggestion. He says there is a concept of Eina Mitzuva V'yosa Kodem Matan Torah. Kodem Matan Torah, the Ovis volunteered to observe the Torah Eina Mitzuva V'yosa. That only makes sense with respect to mitzvah Saseh. Because there's a key of my mitzvah. You mekayim something. You put a mezuzah, you make an erev tafshilin. It's a mitzvah of the rabban. You say a bracha when you make an erev tafshilin. Erev etchumen, you say a bracha when you make an erev etchumen. But let's say a kohen should avoid tumas hameis. That's not a mitzvah, that's an iser. So even if you have a kohen kodem matan Torah, it doesn't make sense that you should volunteer not to be metamei hameis. There is no ene mitzvah v'yosa by a loisese. There's only a concept ene mitzvah v'yosa by an essay. So that's what the Maharal Miprag suggests, that shatness is only an issa, there's no mitzvah. Tzitzis is a mitzvah. So if you say mesim chavshim, the mace is any mitzvah on anything. But if you put on tzitzis on the mace, then there'll be a kiyam, any mitzvah. So there's a concept. Even on a dead body, there's room to dingzach, but that's what the Maharal Miprag suggests. So it makes sense that on the mace you should be medakbeg, that he should have tzitzis. But you should be medactic. You shouldn't wear shatnas. Why? Because there'll be a violation of an avera. There's no avera. It only makes sense to volunteer on the mesa, to volunteer kodem matan Torah, to volunteer mitzvah sese. But it doesn't make sense to volunteer to observe as an ene mitzvah v'yosa loy sese. The loy sese, the no kiyuman. That's what the Maharami Prague answers. So the Meshe Chochma by the Yosameach has the same suggestion. A chilek between an essay and a loy sese. And then he goes one step further and he suggests maybe that is the pshat is a pasuk in the parsha of Tefillin. So the Shamata Sochuka Hazos Lamaya Adam Yamim Yamima. So the Gemara in the last parak in Erevin, the name of the parak is Hamotzei Tefillin. So you have, even though most of the dinim of Tefillin and parak Akimitz Rabbah, the end of parak Akimitz Rabbah in Menachos, but some of the dinim are there in the last parak in Erevin. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim there. What is that pasuk referring to? It's a little unclear in the pasuk and chumash. So some tanaim are of the opinion refers to chukas haPesach. Shamata sochukazos liyamim yamima means annually, like teshav anar itana yamim o asur. So yamim means a year. When Eliezer clinched the shidduch with Rivka for Yitzchak Avinu, so he said he wants to go back to Eretz Yisrael and bring Rivka back to his master, to Yitzchak. And they said, no, Teishav Anari Tana Yamim, so let us stay a year, let us stay 10 months. So Yamim means in that pasuk, it means a year. So here also, V'shamata Suchukazos, if it goes on Chukaz HaPesach, Miyamim Yamim, it means annually. You should fulfill the mitzvah according to Pesach annually. If you hold it refers to Chukaz HaTfilin, so then, miyamim yamima means daily. You should fulfill a mitzvah of chukas haTfilin. You should fulfill a mitzvah of tefillin daily. And then we darshan two additional drushes. Miyamim v'lo kol yamim, to the exclusion of Shabbos and Yontif, that you're not obligated to wear tefillin. And yamim yamima v'lo leilos, that laila is lazman tefillin min haTorah. Most of the Rishonim don't pass like that. Most of the Rambam pass like that. That laila loves mat tefillin is a din deraisa. It's an isa deraisa to wear tefillin by laila. But most of the Rishonim say, no, it's only an Issa, the Rabban Gzeri Shemi Yafiach Behem, because Laila is usually Zman Shina. People are going to sleep. When they sleep, a lot of times they pass gas. So that's not proper to wear tefillin if the person doesn't have a goof noki, it's going to be Shemi Yafiach Behem. So most of the Rishonim Paskin, the Bechukas HaPesach HaKosa Medaber, and Laila loves Man Tefillin is only a Dinder Rabbanan. Minatorla Laila is Man Tefillin. And that Shabbos and Yom Tov, Bidom and Tefillin is based on a different Pasuk. Shabbos and Yom Tov don't need another ice because it says, the Shabbos and Yom Tov are ice, so you don't need the additional ice of the tefillin, you have the ice of the Shabbos. So the Mechilta has a comment on that pasuk. If you follow the opinion of the Tanna, v'shamarta silchukah zos goes on chukas hatfilin. That's how the Rambam paskins. Rav Rishonim hold not so. Rav Rishonim paskin v'shamarta silchukah goes on chukas hapesach. And yamim yamim means annually. It does mean daily. And the din of laila loves matfilin is only a din derabban. It's not a din deras. So, but if you follow that shita satanaim that the Rambam paskins like, the v'shamarta silchukah zos goes on chukas hatfilin. So what does it mean, v'shamarta? What is it referring to? You should observe the mitzvah of tefillin on a daily basis. So the Mechilta says, that's how the Gemara is saying, miyamim yamim, you should wear the daily, yamim v'lo leilis, miyamim v'lo kol yamim. So the Mechilta says, v'shamarta means you should be bodik to tefillin. How often do you have to be bodik to tefillin? So you have to be bodik, if you wear the tefillin on a regular basis. Sometimes people have a different pair of tefillin when they travel. They leave their tefillin in shul. So if they don't daven in shul, they have a different pair of tefillin at home. When they go on a business trip, so they wear a different pair of tefillin. So if you have a pair of tefillin that you wear on a regular basis, at least once every 30 days, not you wear it twice a year when you go on a business trip. No, if you wear it at least once a month because you have other pairs of tefillin. So then the din is you never have to check the tefillin. But if you don't, if you don't wear the tefillin on a regular basis, so maybe you were sitting in the sun and you didn't pay attention. Maybe some of the ksav got ruined. If you wear it every day, you know that it didn't sit in water and wasn't sitting in the sun. Didn't it get ruined? And so on. So you never have to. You just have to check it once, and then it's good for forever. But if it's a pair of tefillin that you don't wear, let's say you yarshin the pair of tefillin from your great grandfather, and you hardly ever wear it. Once a year, you wear the tefillin. So then, if you want to say a bracha, you have to check it twice every 7 years, the same as mezuzah. So the Mechilta learns that out from the pasuk, v'shamarta silchuka hazois, shamarta goes on bedikas hatfilin. You have to be bodik the tefillin. Why? Because every so often the tefillin and the mezuzah may become pasuk. So there's a Ramban in the beginning of Chulin, which appears practically word for word, the same Ramban, both in the Melchamas on the bottom of the Rif, as well as in the Chidush HaRamban. Ramban has this famous opinion that's quoted Laloch and Shulchan Aruch, that whenever there's a raiv that something is mutter, let's say, if the facts are like this, raiv of the suits that they sell in the store do not have shatnas, if it's true. And a miut have shatnas. So I am muchiv to check for shatnas. So can you go basar raiv? So the Ramban says if it's a miut hamotzei, then you muchiv to check. Or let's say vegetables. So usually when you eat vegetables, there aren't any bugs. Let's say usually there are no bugs. But if there's a miut hamotzei that you may be eating a bug, so then you muchiv to be bodik. So you have to be bodik for shatnas. You have to be bodik for miut hamotzei. Let's say, what else is an example? What's another example of bedika? Well, the original din that the Ramban is talking about, let's say somebody comes, I have a behemoth or a chicken to shecht, and the guy says, I'm looking for a shechet. The guy says, okay, I know how to shecht, give me the knife, let me shecht. So he shechts and he disappears. I don't know if he knows how to shecht. He tells me he knows how to shecht. Maybe he does know what he's talking about. So the Gemara says, most people who volunteer to shecht the behemah know what they're doing. But the Rif quotes the Gaonim, if the shechet is still here and he didn't leave, he shechted the animal and he didn't leave yet. So then if you know hilcha shechita, you should try to give him a bechina to see if he knows hilcha shechita. Maybe he's any adair, sheni adair. Maybe he doesn't even realize that he doesn't know the first thing about Hilcha Shechita. Maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. So if that's a shayla, if it's a miut hamotzei, so whenever there's a miut hamotzei, it's a question, how much is miut hamotzei? What percentage is it that it's called miut hamotzei? So that's another question. So the Mishkan is Yankiv. Mishkan is Yankiv was one of the early Talmidim in Volozhin, the Yeshiva. He was the older brother of the Keren Ora. Quote every so often from the Mishkan is Yankiv. So the Mishkan is Yankiv has a whole shtick of Torah. And the Dakar Tshuva quotes it, the Munkacher quotes it on Hilcha Shechita, that the Miut HaMatzui means 10% or above. If there's a 10% likelihood that the person's eating a treifa bug, or that the person does know hilcha shechita, then you mechuyev to be boidik. And Rabbi Yashiv disagreed because he said, let's say, the Ramban writes this also. When you shecht an animal, so we say, rob hemis aksheris. Most animals do not have treifas. But there is a miut of animals that do have treifas. So there are 70 different kinds of treifas, 70 different kinds. There's seven categories of treifas, but there's a list of 70 different sicknesses that make the animal into a treifa. So if you have to be boidic for all 70, it'll take you forever to be boidic for the treifas. So the Ramban says you only have to be boidic to see if there are any sirchas on the lungs. Manishtana sirchas on the lungs. He said the Ramban says because that's a miut hamotzi. So sometimes you have other treifas that are also the same high percentage of sirchas on the lungs. So that's Rav Soloveitchik said, it's not aloch and Moshe Mitzrayim, only sirchas on the lungs, because sirchas on the lungs is a miut hamotzi. So anytime you have a miut hamotzi, you have to be ready. So so that's a medrash like that. The Ramban quotes that medrash, that the Marishim was created on the sixth day of Sheshes May Breshes on Friday. He was prohibited from eating from the Eitz Hadas. So if he would have waited till Leil Shabbos, it would have been permitted for him. He didn't know that in advance. But if he would have had self-control, he would have not eaten from the Eitz Hadas till Leil Shabbos. It would have been mutter for him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But he didn't even have self-control. An hour after he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the Maaseh Sanhedrin gives you the whole schedule of the sixth day of Sheshes May Breshes, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So according to the Gemara, an hour after he was created and instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he already violated the din. So the Medrash has a lashon, mi gala ofa me'enecha Adam Arishon. We should really dig him up. Our tradition has it, Adam and Chava buried in the Maaseh HaMachpelah. So we should really dig him up and remove all of the sand from his eyes. He's been buried in the ground for so many centuries, for so many thousands of years. Mi gal of me'enecha Adam Arishon, which we show him, the Jewish people, that when they shech the behemoth, they don't run to eat the flesh right away. First, they check the lungs to see if there are any sirchas. And then if they see there are no sirchas, then they eat. So why did the Medrash only talk about checking sirchas? So the Ramban explains that's kimat word for word, both in the Chidush Ramban and in the Mohammeds. He explains that the sirchas on the lungs is a miut hamotzi, as opposed to all the other treifas, the other 69 treifas out of the 70, a miut she'en hamotzi. So what is the percentage of sirchas on the lungs? So Rav Soloveitchik said he used to give the hashgacha on the slaughterhouse in Boston. And he said he used to use all the kulas on the books, plus more. He was very makel on the sirchas on the lungs. He had kulas from the Balatanya. In the Kuntra Sakhra, in the end of Chelik Yerodea, Shulchan Aruch Harav, so the Balatanya has kulas there on sirchas. So with all the kulas, he used to have 14% of all the animals that they shechted turned out to have sirchas on the lungs that he couldn't be makel on. He used to complain at that time that they were glatt kosher slaughterhouses who only had 9% of treifas. How is that possible? They're machmer glatt. They're machmer not to remove any sirchas. And they only have 9%, and the Rabbi Soloveitchik is makel on everything, all the kulas that you can on the sirchas, and he has 14%. So he said, they're not telling the truth. It can't be that it's only 9%. It's not glatt kosher. It's a fake. He used to say glatt kosher, glatt treif. He didn't believe them. He couldn't rely on them. So the question is, in America, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, in America, in different countries, the percentage of sirchas is higher or lower. So Rav Eliashiv is quoted as having said that in Eretz Yisrael they kept records, in the slaughterhouse they kept records for over 100 years, what percentage of the animals that they shechted had sirchas, that they couldn't be makel. So it was only 7%. So he said that medrash that the Ramban quoted, that Adam Arishon, if he would have waited till El Shabbos, would have been mutter, and ni galo ofer me'enecha Adam Arishon, the Jewish people wait till they check for the sirchas. The Medrash was probably written in Eretz Yisrael. So if we should assume that in the days of the Tanoim, it was the same as it is today, so in recent years, it's only 7% of all the animals that they shecht have sirchas. It's not over 10%. So Rabbi Yashiv thought that if there's 7% already, obviously that's called the miut hamotzi. So if there's 7% of vegetable, let's say you eat a vegetable and you're eating such a size portion, and the likelihood is there's 7% likelihood that you will be eating a bug if you eat one portion of food. So 7%, Rabbi Yasha thought 7% is called the Miyut HaMotzi. And everybody else, I remember Rabbi Neuwirth, one who wrote the Shmirish Habskel Chosid, told us that he used to travel to Argentina to supervise the Shechita on the behemoths that they import there at Sisra. And he says in Argentina, it was only 5% of the behemoths at Sirchas that you couldn't be mekel on. But he says he doesn't think we're mechuyev to be mach more than Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv is machme if it's 7%, even though the Mishkan Tzayikim says it's only called the Mir Tamotz, it was 10% or above. So Rabbi Yashiv was machmer against that, that 7% is called the Mir Tamotz. So Rabbi Neuwirth thought, you're not mechuyev to be machmer, that maybe the Medrash was written in Argentina, where it's only 5%, and 5% is also called Mir Tamotz. He said, not mechuyev to be machmer so much. So that's a shaila, when the Ramban writes this, both in the Chidush Ramban and in the Mohammed, practically word for word, there's one line that only appears in one of them and not in the other one. When the Ramban writes that this din to be boidik by Miyut HaMotzi, so one of the two versions, I forgot which one of them, he writes it's only Midi Rabbanan, and the other version, that line is missing. Everything else is practically word for word. So that's a question whether Bidike, when you have a Miyut HaMotzi, you have to be boidik lachatchila, is that a din deraisa, or is that a din deRabbanan? So some achrayim said it's a din deraisa, and the mechilta learn out from the pasuk b'shamarta, that it tells you about bedikas b'shamarta's chukasos goes on chukas hatfilin, and it's telling us you have to be bedik the tefillin unless you wear the tefillin on a regular basis, at least once every 30 days, and then you never have to be bedik. You were once bedik when you first got the tefillin, you checked it, and if you wear it on a regular basis, no need to be bedik at all. But if you don't wear it on a regular basis, the grandfather tefillin that sit in the house for years, and once in a long while you wear it, so that you only have to be bedik once every 2 years. So that's a shaila. Is that chayvas bedika? Why? Because there's a Miyut HaMotzi that maybe became puzzle. So that's a shaila. The chayvas bedika by Miyut HaMotzi, that the raisa the rabban. So most assume that it's only midi rabban. But the mechilta learned that from a pasuk, shamarta zuchu kazeis. So you could say it was only intended as an asmachta. So the asmach suggests differently. No. Maybe bedika satfilin is a din deraisa, but bedika for shatnas or bedika for bugs, that'll only be the rabbanan. What's the difference? So he has this on Ushmata Mesamatzis. The Meshech Chochma has this on the pasuk Ushmata Mesamatzis in each Shmura Matzah. So the Rambam says that Shmura means Shima Michimutz. So Shima Mechimus, why is it only for the Kazayish al Mitzvah? It should be for all the matzahs that you eat, all the Pesach. So the Magen Mishnah says on the Rambam Menachanami, according to the Rambam, that Shmura Matzah, the Rambam never writes that it's Asir L'Shmur. Rashi keeps on writing on Adaf, Amem Amaral, if he keeps on mentioning, you need Asir L'Shmur. And that's how we were learning a possibility in the Gemaras about the Mishen Anechel Baninis, Mishen Anechel Kol Shiva. Maybe it's a tata de sasi and the lishma. We said when you get to the Gemara, lamites on the days, by Moror, you don't need asiya lishma. So how can you say it's a tata de sasi and the lishma? So we said it doesn't fit in over there. But some of the Gemaras could be that it's a tata de sasi and the lishma. But the Rambam only writes that shmura min shima mechimutz. So shima mechimutz should apply all of Pesach. So the Magen Mishnah says, enachinami, that according to the Rambam, you have to eat Shmura Matzah all Pesach long, not only for the Seder. The Chayyadim makes fun of those. Chayyadim writes, usually if a person has a Minik Tov and he wants to give it up, he wants to discontinue observing the Minik Tov, so you have to have a Toras Nadar, because the Gemara says a Minik Tov is binding Mitam Nedim Midi Rabbanim. There's Bal Yachal Midi Rabbanim. So you need a Toras Nadar. Unless it's a minik shtutz. If it's a minik taif, then a minik taif is binding mitam nedim in the rabbanon. Bal yachom in the rabbanon. But if it's a minik shtutz, then it's not binding. So the Chayyadim writes that those people who are makbet, they have a lot of people today, those people who are makbet to eat shmura matzah, all the pesach, that's a minik shtutz. The Rambam never said it. It's against the Gemara, because the Gemara says, "B'tzeker shel nachem, adam malak reisim hem v'ashel chizayis matzah v'achreinim." So you see that you don't need, you only need shmura matzah for the chizayis shel mitzvah. You don't need shmura matzah all of Pesach. It's a b'favor shel Gemara. So the Chayodim writes that that's a minig shtus, and even if a person has such a minig, he doesn't need a hatorah. That you're makbet to have shmur matzah all the Pesach. So the question is, why not? Why not? But if shmur means shima mechimutz, so you're not allowed to have chametz all the Pesach, not just to the Seder. So why should you distinguish? You only need shima mechimutz on Laila Harishon for the gezayis matzah. Why not all the Pesach? So the Meshech Chachma explains why. He says, if you're not going to be boydek by the trefus, by the vegetable to see if it has bugs, if you're not going to be boydek the animal to see if it has a sircha on the lungs and so on, or the shatness, you're not going to be boydek. So what will happen? So if you didn't boydek the tefillin, and it turns out that tefillin apostle, it'll come out you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin amzuzah. If you didn't boydek by the shatness beged, it'll come out you violated an aver of shatness. Eating a bug, you'll turn out that you ate a bug. Okay, it'll come out that you did an isa. Or let's say if you don't have shmura matzah, it'll turn out that you ate chametz. So if you're talking about an avera, and you have a right minator, you have a right to go basa raiv, and the whole chayv is bedika by a miyot hamatzah is only midirabbanon. So then, onus rachmana patre. If the person did an avera, but he had the right minatora to rely on the roiv. So that's onus rachmana patre, and the aver is not considered an aver. But you don't say onus commando of lo amrino. That's what he quotes, the shachan chashmishma quotes our Yerushalmi like that. That's the machleg zabirchem ishlokesh. Onus is commando lo of the dami. Let's say a person ate treif of food, but onus. He didn't realize that it was treif. So it's not considered an aver. But if he thought he's doing a mitzvah and turned out it was a mistake. He was wearing pasul tefillin. It turns out he ate matzah. He thought it's kosher lePesach. Turned out that he ate matzah that was chametzdik for the mitzvah. So if he ate chametzdik and matzah all lePesach, relying on a ruba the leisa kamon, so the avera is not farechent as an avera. Einis rachmana patre is not considered an avera. But bottom line, he didn't do the mitzvah. You don't say einis commando of it. Einis commando of it leyamina. Einis is considered commando loy of it. So that's what the Meshech Chachma writes. He writes the same as the Maharal Miprag, that the Ovis Kodeh Matan Torah only volunteered to observe mitzvah saseh. It wouldn't make sense that they should volunteer that a brother should marry a sister. A Yisurim. There is no such concept as Eina Mitzvah V'yosa by a Lois essay. It's only an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa by an essay, because you're going to have a Kiyama Mitzvah. So the same thing for Mesim. That's how the Maharal Miprag answered Tosis Kasha and Mem on the base. He said the same thing for Bedika. If you won't be Boidek, the animal, to see if it has a trephis. If you won't be Boidek, the vegetable, to see if it has a bug. You won't be Boidek, the beggar, to see if it has shatness. So the whole Bedika there is only Midirabbanan. Because even if it's a Miyat HaMatzai, but Al Pi Raiv, there's no problem of shatness, there's no problem of trephis, no problem of bugs. So and if it turns out there was a bug, that it is a trephis, onus is considered command aliyabit. It's not considered an aver. But when it comes to checking the tefillin or the mezuzahs, he can't say onus command aliyabit. He's going to rely on the raiv that it didn't become possible, but there's a miyot hamotzer that it may become possible. So you can't rely on the raiv there because you're talking about a mezuzahs. That's how the Meshech Chachma adds on to what the Maharal Miprag distinguished. Maharal Miprag only said it to answer Tosfos Kasha by the Mesim and to answer the Kasha on the Rashi. How could Shimon promise that he's going to marry Dina? How can a brother marry a sister? Even though it's Kodem Atan Torah, but Kiyam Avraham Avinu Kala Torah Kul Al Shulay Nitno. So Mesama the Shortam also went Mekayim. So that's what the Maharal answers, a chiv between an essay and a lois essay. So the Meshech Chochma says, maybe that's a difference, but the Bedikas Teloim and Bedikas Trefus and Bedikas HaShechet to see if he's Yodeh Hilcha Shechita, maybe that Miyot HaMotzeh, that's only a Bedikah Midrabbanan. But the bedika to be bodik the tefillin and the mezuzah, that's a mitzvah saseh. So it was going to come out. The rav is that the tefillin and mezuzah are kosher. It's going to come out that the apostle, so it's going to be bottom line. He didn't do the mitzvah. It doesn't help that he was oynis. Oynis command other by Amrina. Yes. So that is a famous topic. Then Tosis has another problem. The Gemara says, "Beferish menoches on that daf." Who shaita when you bury the person in the tachrichim that have four corners? Vader aminale. Then you must put in tzitzis. Otherwise, it's going to be a violation of the pasuk. Loig l'rosh, cherif I say. It's a violation of loig l'rosh. So Tosis is bothered with the kasha. Our meaning is that when we bury the person in the talis that he wore during his lifetime. That's a question that Abdenezer has a tshuva. Which talis, that usually people have two talis, a weekday talis and another talis for Shabbos and Yantav. Because that's part of Kroso, the Shabbos and Kedosh Hashem Mechubod. Part of Kovod is wearing big day Shabbos. So you should wear special begodim for Shabbos and special begodim for Yantav. Should really be fancier begodim for Yantav than for Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch quotes that from the Yerushalmi, that they have to have big day chol, and you have to have big day Shabbos, and you have to have big day Yontem, should be fancier than big day Shabbos. Most people don't have that, but that's what you're supposed to, theoretically, if you can afford it, you're supposed to have it like that. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to wear on Yontem, he used to wear a top hat, a cylinder. On Shabbos, he didn't wear a top hat, he wore a regular hat. He used to wear a top hat, and he used to wear tails, a long jacket on Yontem. On Shabbos, he wore a short jacket. But on Yontif, years ago, I remember the early years, he used to be very handsome. He used to be very tall. He was very, very tall. My impression is that he was taller than 6 feet. And I used to be taller also when I was younger. I think he was taller. And he used to, on Yontif, he used to wear the top hat with the tails. It was very fancy. And on Shabbos, it was normal Shabbos dikah begodim. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha that the common practice today, based on Masechus Mochas was written in the days of the Gaonim. That's why every so often the Rabbi Natan feels free to disagree with what it says in Masechus Mochas. But here he quotes, our practice is based on what's recorded in Masechus Mochas. He doesn't follow everything that it says in Masechus, but this he says, the meaning was that you do follow. When you bury the mace with the talis, oh, he started to say, the Avnei Nezer has a discussion. Usually you have two talis, and you have a weekday Shabbos, and you have a talis that you wear Shabbos and Yontif. So when you bury the mace, which talis should you bury him in? Should you bury him in the Shabbos day talis or the weekday talis? So the Avnei Nezer thinks that it should depend on the Sofik and the Gemara in Perakol HaTodir. In the end of Zvachim, the Gemara says the Mishnah says the Andach Peitesa Menala. We have two klolim, we have two rules. If you're interested in performing two mitzvahs, you want to do mitzvah A and mitzvah B. As far as you're concerned, you can do first A and A B, you can do first B and then A. Doesn't make a difference. You're prepared to do both of them. You're prepared to do the two mitzvahs. So which one should you do first? So the Gemara has two klolim. One klol is Torah B'Sheinei Torah Tola Kodim. That's the name of the parak is parak kol atodir. Kol atodir mechavera, kodim is chavera. Then there's another called mekudish vein and mekudish kodim. It means two people walked into the Beis HaMikdash simultaneously. One has a korban oil and one has a korban shlamim. Korban oil is a kochi kochim, more mekudish. Korban shlamim is a kochim kalim. So if they both came in simultaneously and there's one kohen there, so he should first take care of the kochi kochim and then take care of the kochim kalim. That's one is more mekudish than the other. So the Kal Mekudish Vein and Mekudish Kodim. You do that first. And Torah Mishan and Torah Kodim. So the Gemara has an Ibayid Leib Shita. What if there's a conflict between A and B? One is Mekudish and one is Tadir. So do you say Torah Mishan and Tadir is a more important Klal? Or Mekudish Vein and Mekudish is a more important Klal? Each one has learned that from Psukim. Which Klal takes precedence? The Gemara says Teku. So the Rambam writes, what do you do if you have two Karbonis? They both come, both Balabatim came simultaneously into the Azorah, and each one wants to go into Shecht his carbon. One carbon is Torah, one carbon is Mekudesh. So the Rambam writes, Eze Shiyirtze Yagdim. It's optional because it's an Ibai Lev Shita. So Sveka Adina, so maybe they're both equal. That's how the Rambam writes. So the Avnei Nezer thinks that this Shaila, should you bury the Mesim and the Shabbos Digger Talus, or the weekday Talus should depend on that. The weekday Talus you wear six times as often as the Shabbos Digger Talus. Shabbos Digger Talus you only wear once a week. Weekday Talus you wear 6 days a week. But the Shabbos Digger Talus is for Shabbos and Yontav. It's more Mekudesh. He uses it big day Shabbos. So he says you should depend on that. My father used to tiny. What do you mean? What's the whole reason why we dress up the mesim with a talis? To be mechazik the amuna in tchias ha-mesim. We believe that the mesim will come back to life. And the Gemara says in the last parak in Sanhedrin, parak chelik, when the Mishnah talks about the idea of tchias ha-mesim, the Rama Meklut tchias ha-mesim is the last of the 13 Ikori amuna. We believe in tchias ha-mesim. So the Gemara says there, when the mesim will come back to life, not only will their bodies come back to life, they'll come back to life with the begodim rotted away. The person is buried for so long. The worms ate up all the begodim. There's nothing left. Just like the worms eat up the body, so the worms eat up the tachrichim as well. So the Gemara says, but just like the miracle of tchias ha-mesim will occur on the body, it'll occur on the clothing as well. So we want to bury the person with a nice beged. So when he comes back to life at the time of Tchias HaMesim, he should be wearing a nice beged. So my father thought, if it's the purpose of being Mechazik Emuna in the Tchias HaMesim, he should wear the Big Day Shabbos. Why only wear the Big Day Chol? Lo said, love after Tchias HaMesim. Let him wear Big Day Shabbos. The nice begodim. Anyway, that's what Avnei Nezer writes. The Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. In Maseches Mochas, it says that one of the Tanaim said when he dies and they bury him, they should remove the tzitzis. They should not bury him with the tzitzis. And in the Gemara in Menachas, it contradicts that. The Gemara in Menachas, Ahu Shaita Badir Aminale. That time when the person dies and you actually bury him, so you have to put tzitzis in the Big Day Hameis. Otherwise, it's a violation of Loig the Rosh Chayrif Hasev. So Tosfos said, here there's a conflict, there's a contradiction between Maseches Mochas and the Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli Menachas on Daf, where is it? On Daf Mem Aleph says, when you bury the Mesim, you Daf Kedu put in tzitzis in the Big Day Hameis. And here in the Maseches Mochas, Perigud Beis, it says, Hatiru Tcheles Me'apil Yoni, they should take the tzitzis out from the begodim. So Tosfos says, there are several issues where our minig is that we don't follow the Talmud Bavli. We follow Svarim Chitzonim, some outside sources. So this one, the meaning is that we follow the Maseches Mochas. There are other things in Maseches Mochas that we clearly do not follow. But Rabbi Tam is the one, the beginning of Ksubis, he disagrees with the Maseches Mochas. Because Maseches Mochas was written by the Goyim, and we don't always follow what they say. So the Rabbi Tam answers, here are meaning is that we follow. The same thing with Shchodeshav, Shcholiyas, Bishabbos. So the Gemara says that you say Chazayin, Shabbos Chazayin, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. And the minig is that you say Hashemayim Kisi. So that's based on the minig is based on the psikta and medrash. And the same thing on Antinus Sibu, we lain by Chal. We just lain by Chal Antinus Esther. And Medina Digmar, he lain brachas the clothes, he lain the techeche. So Tosfos says we have a lot of traditions. That's the question. Where did these traditions come from? If it's against the Maskan and the Talmud Bavli, where did it come from? So that's a question. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, Rabbi Soloveitchik's son, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, published an essay. He thinks that maybe in addition to Surim Pumpadisa, maybe there was a third yeshiva in Bavel, and the Baalei HaTosfos held such strong traditions from that third yeshiva. We don't know where it was. They had such strong traditions, they're prepared to, whenever there's a conflict between their traditions and the Gemara, they follow their traditions. They hold that their traditions are stronger. Same thing, the first Tosfos and Brachas. The Mishnah says, and the Gemara comes to the Maskana like that, you shouldn't recite Kriya Shema Shalayla before Tzeis HaKochavim. And the common meaning in the days of Rashi and the Baalei HaTosfos was that they used to dab Maariv early before Tzeis HaKochavim, and they didn't repeat all the three parashiyos later. What was that based on? So Tosfos says, that's their minig, and they justify it, and they explain what it's based on. Instead of saying that it's a minig betoyus, they were so convinced of their menorgim. That's over here also. So they give you all the cross references. Yeah, on the side at the end of the Tosfos. So to look in the Tosfos brachas yud ches amud aleph. If you look there in the Tosfos, the Tosfos of the Tosfos Harosh there explain this machlokes that we spoke about the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam. How do you explain the difference between shatnas and tzitzis? Why is it shatnas does not bother us? Also tachrich and the mace, we're not worried about loig the rush. We're only worried about loig the rush by the tzitzis. So the Rabbi Natam said, because kula tzitzis keneged kol hamitzvos kulam, and the Rashbam gave you his answer that it's levisha shem bahano. So by shatnas it doesn't pose a problem. But by tzitzis, even levisha shem bahano is also chayv in tzitzis. That's a fundamental machlokes, the Rashbam and the Rabbi Natam over there. So this is an important tosis. Okay. What are we up to in the Gemara? Tana Rabbanon, about 10 lines from the top of Mem on the base. Tana Rabbanon, we have our braisa. A mother lemasak there with Pesach. I'm making, let's say, vegetable soup on Pesach. I want to make it thicker. I don't want that it should be watery. So I want to pour in a little flour. So to pour in matzah mel, ofui shebishloi, will not become chametz. That was the Gemara before. Ha'ofi shebishloi. So matzah mel is already baked, so that's not a problem. But if you just have basically think of flour, it's not matzah mel, it wasn't baked yet. So then you shouldn't pour in Pesach thick of flour into the soup to thicken it, because it's going to turn into chametz. Especially if it's heat on the fire, it'll be memar lahachmetz. You don't have that for the first 22 and a half minutes, nothing is going to happen. No, if it's hot, it's memar lahachmetz. So it says, you're not allowed to thicken the soup on Pesach by pouring in flour, because it'll turn to the chametz. So I wrote the sheim lo, and if you do want to make it thick, what should you do? We said that there's chalita bereischim, and there's chalita bechametz. There's chalita bereischim if you pour on burning hot water, and then there's chalita bechametz. The chaimetz tzomso, that's what Rabbi Yossi said. The Tana Rabbi Yossi said. So that's what he says over here. If you want to thicken the soup, so make sure you have a lot of chaimetz. Either the chaimetz should be there before you pour in the flour that's going to thicken the soup. Either the chaimetz should be there before, the chaimetz should be put in right after. So the chametz is going to be tzaymes, the flour, that it won't be able to be bolid yechimotz. Fine. But it's a, if you do want to thicken the soup, whose opinion is that? That if you throw the kemach into the chametz, that'll be tzaymes. So the Gemara, Amar Avchiz the Rabbi Yudhi. So Rabbi Yudah's opinion. Why the snan? We have a Mishnah. Masechah Shabbos has 24 prokim. We mentioned a few times the Malach Shlomo is one of the commentaries on the bottom of the page in the big Mishnah Yochanan Boya. So the Malach Shlomo writes in the beginning of Masechah Shabbos, the very beginning, that in the days of the Tanakh, it was traditional that a kala would wear 24 pieces of jewelry. And because Shabbos is a kala, boy chala, we treat Shabbos as she's a kala. So the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wanted to make 24 tachshitim for Shabbos. He made 24 prokim. 24 prokim. Could have made 30 prokim. Made 24 prokim. Mechulin keneged the 24 tachshitim that a kala wore. So what does the Gemara say? So this is in the third perek of Masach Shabbos, perek Kira. It's a lot about reheating food on Shabbos and cooking and so on. So it says, Ilhus vagderish avir muritochim. I have a pot full of soup, a pot full of flesh, and I took it off of the fire and it's still burning hot. Heviran, he took it off of the fire, and miru tochim, it's still burning hot. Resech means mala resich, means 212, or anything above 195 or so is mala resich. So if I have a pot that it used to be agabi huesh, now I took it off me agabi huesh, but it's still burning hot, way above yatzaletis. So the din is oitan letochan tavlin. You're not allowed to put any raw spices into it, because it'll be bishul. Not only is there bishul al gabi ha'esh, if there's a fire underneath it, directly underneath it, even if there's no longer a fire underneath, I move the pot off of the fire, it's on a different burner, but the pot is still burning hot. So there's bishul b'kli rishon. Bishul b'kli rishon is also bishul. Le'itan etocha tavlon, because there'll be bishul on the tavlon. Avol, noisin etocha kaira etocha tamche. But if once you pour the soup into a klisheni, then there's no bishul b'klisheni, so you can put the raw tavlon into the klisheni, and there's no din of bishul b'klisheni. That's not a problem. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. La kolo noisin, you're permitted to put tavlin into any other klisheni except chutz midova sheyesh bo chaymetz v'tzir. If it has chaymetz v'tzir, then you're not allowed to put in tavlin, even though it's a klisheni. Where's the Rashi? La kolo noisin. How many ma'achol noisin tavlin be klisheni? What does Rashi say? La kolo noisin. How many ma'achol noisin tavlin, you're permitted to put in any klisheni, no problem. Chutz medavu sheesh b'chaimetz v'tzir. Chaimetz mevashlan v'afagav shekodam. Even though the chaimetz was there before you put in the raw tavlin, but still, the chaimetz will be mevashel what you throw in. It's going to be burning hot. Going to be burning hot. So what does the Gemara say? Nachamam. There were two versions here. If you're going to be tzomis, the kemach be chometz. So the first version was, rotzeh sheyimlol, if he does want to thicken the soup, what should he do? Notice that's a kemach first, and you should pour the chometz directly on top of the kemach, and that'll be tzomis. Yeshamim, you don't have to pour the chometz directly on top of the kemach. Chametz first, even though there's other liquid there, but once you pour in chametz, chakach noisen es hakemach right away, that'll also be tzemes. You don't have to worry that it'll be bolid chametz, because if the chametz is there, even if the chametz was there before, chametz will be tzemes it, and it won't become chametz. So the Gemara says, Keman, whose opinion is that? Even though the chaimetz was there before you put in the flour, that's Keman, Kereb Yudah. Man Yeshamim, Amrav Chizah, Rab Yudah, this not. That's the Mishnah in Masech HaShabbos. Goes like Rab Yudah. So the Gemara says, Kasha, what did he say? Goes like Rab Yudah. V'nukma Kereb Yaisi, maybe goes like Rab Yaisi. The Tanya, we have a Braise, Rabbi Yossi, a mayor, Shoram Bechamis, Bechamis, Tzimson. Yeah, that was the Gemara earlier, no? Shoram Bechamis, the Gemara said on Amid Aleph, no? On the first white line, Amem Amid Aleph, in Loisisim, Sermon, Lossit, Nizbakon, Nizbakon, the Torah, Rabbi Yossi, Amir, Shoram Bechamis, if you have something that looks like it's ready to turn into Chametz, quickly put it, Shoram, soak it in Chametz. And chaimetz will freeze it. Chaimetz will cause the chaimetz process to end. It'll be tzaymes. So the Gemara says, why did you have to say that it goes like Rabbi Yudah from Perek Kira, from the third Perek on Shabbos, but no kim k'Rabbi Yosi did tanya, maybe it goes like Rabbi Yosi over here. On Omer Aleph, who says, Shorim b'chaimetz chaimetz tzaymesa, yeah? Everything more name. Kiyash min alayda Rabbi Yossi, an mili disa b'yene. If the chometz is not b'tarumis, alayda tarumis loy, and here we're saying a chiddush, even alayda tarumis, even alayda tarumis, it'll also be tzomis, the flour that you mix in. Yeah. So here, there's a famous Tosfos of discussion. Maybe we'll save this for tomorrow. Memam and basic Tosfos of Ufos Vagdeira. There's a stira between the Diyukim and the Mishnayos and Masech HaShabbos. It says you have a burning hot pot of soup that you took off of the fire, so you're not allowed to put tavlin in the soup. Once it poured the soup into a klisheni, then you're permitted to put tavlan into the soup, because klisheni ain't a mirasha. So what about irui? What about if you're pouring from a klirishon? You're not allowed to put it directly into the klirishon. Even though the klirishon is no longer al gabi yosha, it's like irui from a klirishon is mutta. Then it says, after you pour the soup into the klisheni, then you can put the tavlan into the klisheni. Why only in a klisheni? You should have said you're allowed to pour from the klirishon into it. So it's a stira. What's the din regarding irui? So that's three opinions in Tosfos. And then Tosfos has the four nafkaminas la'alocha. Where the irui is mevashel la'anat, there are four nafkaminas la'alocha. So we'll learn that tomorrow. We'll have to start from that Tosfos. Okay. The next stop till the end of the parak. Important Gemaras. They're all important Gemaras. Very good.
I guess if no one's going to ask, does Rebbe have time for questions today? I mean,
sure, I have time. Half time till 3:30, an hour.
Perfect. Rebbe, Mayor, you want to ask? Or Yehuda, go for it.
I was wondering what Rebbe thinks about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's theory.
Interesting. Tosis is, Tosis favors their minhagim over all the Gemaras. Same thing by Yehorek Bal Yavar. Tosis said, based on the Gemara, we should really paskin that there's no din of Yehorek Bal Yavar by Avodah Zarah. But Tosis says, chas v'sholem to paskin like that, because the Baliat Tosis, who are Moshe Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem. Maybe they did Shalei Kiddin. No, that's not Bobe Cheshbon. They had a tradition that Yehorek Bal Yavar does apply to Avodah Zarah, even though the Gemara seems that it doesn't apply. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah seems that it only applies to Shmichas Damim and to Gilei Arayis, not to Avodah Zarah. But they says, Chas v'Shalom, this is their minig, we follow their minig. I don't know, it is something. They seem to have had a tradition, not from the Talmud Bavli. Different tradition. Yeah.
Any more, Yehuda? No? All right, Seder Gamur. So I guess this question is for someone else. Is there a snack that Rebbe would allow someone to eat before Mairuv? I'll rephrase that. Is there a snack that a person's able to eat before Mairuv? Because, you know, you don't want to eat a meal before davening, and, you know, a lot of minyanim in the heights, you know, are before Shkia. So if you want to daven, I'm sorry, are before tzeis.
Yeah.
So if there's this individual who, you know, davens at the 10 p.m., you know, minyan in morgue. And, you know, he wants to go, you know, as halacha as possible and not, you know, have a meal prior to 10 p.m. So is there any, like, snack that this individual...
Snacks are muta. Strictly speaking, te'ima is muta as long as it's not the whole meal. But you can't say you have to wash. People today eat a whole meal without washing. If you have spaghetti and the meatballs and the soup and everything, that's a whole meal, even without bread. Not allowed to have the whole meal. If he's still hungry because he didn't eat supper yet, then he's not going to forget to daven. But if he's not going to eat again, so then he's going to forget. He may forget about davening about Kriya Shema. So the little te'ima is muta. More correct is that they should have early minyanim for Ma'ariv. They shouldn't rely on the 10 o'clock minyan and everybody eats supper before. We rely on a minyan kavua. Since every night I dominate the 10 o'clock minyan, so I'm not going to forget. So some achrenim came up with that. Others say you rely on a shomer. You appoint the shomer that he should remind you. So that's what others argue. Arva chava boy, who says the shomer isn't going to forget. Relying on the Shema, who's going to remember, who's going to remind the Shema to remind me? Shema may forget. So the more correct is we should have earlier minyan for Myra, if they say Saka Chava, before Saka.
Can Rabbi please repeat the question that was bothering Rabbeinu Tam? I mean, just to clarify, we're saying that we should put tzitzis on the mace, and yet we don't put klaim on the mace?
The Gemara says you may put, you are permitted to put klaim on the mace. So why do you have to put tzitzis on the mace? If you're worried about loig l'rosh for tzitzis, why aren't you worried about loig l'rosh for shatnas?
Rabbi, we're saying we do put the tzitzis on the mace.
And the Gemara says you put the tzitzis. Then Tosfos sends off, our meaning is we remove the tzitzis from the mace. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes that there were two great goyim in Europe, the Vilna goyim, and the author of the Alexander Ziskin was the author of Yisod V'Shorash Avod, it's a Musa Sefer. So they both left instructions that when they die, when the Chevra Kadisha buries them, they should not remove their tzitzis. And in both cases, the instructions were mistakenly violated. When the Vilna Gaon died, so one of his Talmidim was there to make sure that they don't pass the tzitzis. And then he had to go away for 5 minutes. So when he walked away, then by mistake, they didn't realize that. So they removed the tzitzis. So they buried him without tzitzis, even though he left instruction. Then Rabbi Sandra Ziskin also said, he left the instruction they should bury him with the tzitzis, like it says in the Gemara. And they were going to, so they were lowering him in the grave. And then as they were lowering him, the tzitzis got ripped on one of the stones on the side of the grave. There was a jagged edge of a stone. So it ripped the tzitzis. So they took it as a simim and hashamayim that they shouldn't start up with the minig. They should leave the minig the way it is. That you pass the tzitzis before you bury the person. Very strange. Why? So the Ramban in the end of Moed Katan on the Rif, the Ramban in the Mochamis, writes that the Machlokes HaTanoim, whether you're allowed to bury people with the tzitzis or not, depends whether tzitzis is a tashmishe mitzvah or tashmishe kedusha. If it's tashmishe mitzvah, then it's permissible to bury a mace with tzitzis. If it's tashmishe kedusha, then it's a bizayin to the kedushas tzitzis. To bury a mace with tzitzis. But in the Bavli, there is no such machlokes. The Bavli says tzitzis is tashmishe mitzvah. Nobody in the Bavli holds this tashmishe kedusha. It's a very difficult suggestion that the Ramban made, that that's the machlokes satanoim, but the tzitzis is tashmishe mitzvah, tashmishe kedusha. The Gemara says in Megillah, the first perek, it's tashmishe mitzvah. It's not tashmishe kedusha. So then it should be mutter to bury a mace with it.
Rabbi, do we paskin that Shibuda is deoraisa?
There's a long shach in Sima Lamites where he gives Marochim or Maroch a list around 10 Rishayim who say Shibuda deoraisa, including the Rambam. 10 Rishayim and paskin Shibuda lab deoraisa. So the shach says we should treat it as a sveika dedina. That's the final word. It's a sveika dedina. But it does make that much of a difference. Because all the nafkaminas la'alocha are very abstract. They never come up. Locha l'maisa, they never come up in a million years.
Rabbi, there's a Mishnah in Pesachim that says that the czar or whomever is doing the shechita on the Karban Pesach, if let's say the other people in his group are unable to eat the Karban Pesach because they're sick, or they're old, or they're Tame, or they're Arelim. So this guy's group is composed of him, an old, a sick person, a Tame person, and an Arel. So the Mishnah says that the Shechita is Pasal. Pasal is the Karban.
Why is it Pasal?
Because you could only have, a group of people who are able to eat it.
Able to eat it.
So I was just wondering, in terms of, doing the shechita and the other person in your group is someone who's tamei, would this include someone who's a tful yom for the 14th of Nisan? In other words, the guy was tamei, or let's say he was tamei mace, but his seventh day is on Erev Pesach. So he's a tful yom for Zman Shechita, on Leil Pesach, he'll be tahar to eat it. Do we say that that would make the shechita invalid if it's just this guy in a tful yom?
I think that's a machlekes in the Gemara, where the shech the mezarkim on a tful yom. Because right now, he's a tful yom. He's right now in Erev Pesach, he's not allowed to eat. Only tonight he's allowed to. And they do the shechita and the zrika in the bod yom. So that's, I think, a machlekes in the Gemara. I don't remember how we passed it. But the shech the mezarkim on a tful yom.
Rabbi, how did Rav Eliyashiv get 7% for the Miyot HaMatzoy?
He said the Medrash, the Ramban quoted a Medrash, Migala Ofa Meinecha, Oda Marishan, you didn't have the patience and the self-control to wait till Leil Shabbos. If you would have waited a couple of hours, it would have been Shabbos, then HaKadosh Baruch would have permitted you to eat from the Eitz Hadas. An interesting Medrash. It doesn't, the Chumash, it doesn't sound like that, but that's what the Medrash says. So, and then the Medrash says, Migala Ofa Meinecha, look at the Jewish people, they shech the Behema, and they don't, And they wait. They check to see if it has sirchas before they eat the meat. So the Rabban explained why only sirchas. There's 70 different treifas. They said sirchas are mir tamotzi. So how often does it come up that you have a sircha that you can't be mekel? So Rabbi Yashu said in Eretz Yisrael for many years they kept records over 100 years, and he says it's 7%, not like in America that is 14%. By the biggest mekilim is 14%. No, it used to be 7%. So Rabbi Eliyashiv said, maybe if that medrash that the Ramban quoted, that says, if the medrash was written by the Tanoim in the days of the Gemara, the Tanoim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, so then if it's the same proportion then that it was now, he said, now it's 7% of all the animals have sirchas on the lungs. Maybe in the days of the Tanaim is also 7%. So then you see 7%. It's called a Miyot HaMatzoy, because that's what it is in recent years. For over 100 years, it's 7%.
Rabbi, we mentioned how there's this Gezeirah Shavah Sham Sham by, you know, Miriam and Egla Arufa, and that's how you know that a mace is Aser Bahana. Do we say that Egla Arufa is considered Kachim? I know there's Me'ila, but isn't that after, you know, the Arufa?
There's no Me'ila. It's not Kachim. Egla Arufa is not Kachim. There's no Me'ila.
Not even after the...
No.
Isn't that the whole exception? Like, Trumas Adeshin, and, you know, after the Arufa, we still say there's Me'ila, Achar, Mitzvaso? Weren't those the two exceptions?
Egla Arufa. Yeah, it's still Osmano even after Nasis Mitzvasa, yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's Kachim. The Rambam holds, you only say Hanisrafim Aframutal and Nisrafim Shal Hegdish. Yeah, what does the Rambam do with the Gemara? What does the Gemara consider? That's a good question. According to the Rambam, they're only Nisrafim Hegdish as Aframutar. So why do they consider Egla Rufa an exception to the rule if it's not Hegdish? I don't know. That's a good question. I think we asked that when we learned the Gemara. I don't know. But Tosfos holds on this Rafa and Afra Mutter even applies to Chometz. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that Ein Bir Chometz Ela B'Sreifa, on this Rafa and Afra Mutter, the ashes would be Mutter. It's not restricted only to this Rafa Mashal Hegdish.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very good.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I have time for a question or two.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, just out of curiosity, Rebbe's coming to the Five Towns this Shabbos, I believe?
Yes.
Does Rebbe by any chance know what time he's speaking, when, where, if I wanted to come and attend?
I just read an email before I started this year. There's, I think, a question and answer period on Friday night, I think 9 o'clock in the shul. Then they want me to give a drasha by the first minyan, which starts at 7:45, I think. Then they want me to give a drasha by the second minyan, which starts at 8:30, I think. Then they want me to give blessings to the Obis Ibanim, just as you give a bracha to the children on Shabbos afternoon, before mincha. And then I think between Mincha and Meir, if they want me to speak about Chinuch, something like that, I'll have to read it again.
And this is all for Rabbi Leibowitz at Shul, correct? The Rebbe's not doing anything for Young Israel Woodmere during his time.
I don't think so. Because the Young Israel, Rabbi Leibowitz at Shul is having Chanukah's Habayis, I think.
I think so, yeah. Okay, fair enough. And now to the question I was hoping to ask Rebbe.
Yes.
Today. I wanted to ask Rebbe, continuing, I guess, a little bit on the theme from the last question I asked Rebbe, about what Rebbe's thoughts on certain extra-governmental organizations, I guess we'll call them, in Israel, known as Hilltop Youth, Lahava, and Hazon. Is Rebbe familiar with any of those three?
Not familiar at all.
So in that case, I'll try and explain them. Hilltop Youth is, I believe, an organization that tries to create communities in the West Bank, but often has violent tendencies, I guess. If Rebbe's familiar with Yitzhar by any chance?
Not familiar.
So that's one of the communities that they have, but they have a dislike of both Palestinians and also Israeli soldiers who try to take down their buildings, their caravans, because they're building illegally. So the question is how do we relate to an organization like that, for example, that tries to work outside of Israeli law, even though perhaps what it's doing is somewhat meritorious?
Don't know. I'm not sufficiently familiar with what's going on in there. It's short to formulate an opinion.
Yeah, if I wouldn't
challenge. It's so much more complicated there than it is in America.
That certainly is the case. Fair enough. So I'll then ask Rebbe a different question, perhaps, rather than try and drag Rebbe into Israeli politics. The question that I was actually asked by a friend was, where does Rebbe think the state of Orthodoxy is going to be in 50 years from now? And 50 years is just what you gave as a random number, a time sufficient that either a new challenge could in theory arise or that a gradual shift could take place within Orthodoxy.
Oh, no. It's hard to tell. I don't know.
Fair enough. I suppose they should. Those were more difficult than.
But I had a book in his library that was called Stranger Than Fiction. It was a book on Jewish history. And the title of the book was Stranger Than Fiction. Jewish history is stranger than fiction. How can you guess in advance? Jewish history is Lamala Menateva. That's what Ramban writes on Chumash a few times. Whoever doesn't believe that A. Mazali saw the Jewish history is Lamala Menateva doesn't know what the Jewish religion is all about. We say history, Jewish history is Lamala Menateva. How can you predict what's going to be in 50 years? You never know.
Rebbe doesn't see any trends that either trouble him or give to him relief that Orthodoxy is well prepared for what's to come.
They contradict the trends. I don't know. There's so many contradictions in the trends. I don't know. Years ago, when was it? 60 years ago, they thought that Orthodoxy was going to disappear in America. And they were going to write a whole write-up in one of the big magazines. It used to be two big magazines, Look and Life. So one of them was going to have a whole write-up about Judaism in America. They were only going to write about Reform and Conservative. They weren't going to write about Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy was disappearing. And then someone convinced the one who was going to do the research on the article, he should speak to Rabbi Soloveitchik. He should interview Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he did. And then the whole article was only on Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy picked up a lot. And the Conservative disappeared. Conservative practically disappeared now. The Jewish Theological Seminary is selling the library. They're disappearing. They're closing down. They have no money. The Reform are growing because the Reform is next thing to assimilation. The Reform are growing, but there's no religion there. What kind of religion is it? Everything is do whatever you want. Do whatever you please. That's not a religion. Religion means Menashemayim. And religion is a God-given religion, not a man-made. So the question is, what's going to be with the Reform? We have a lot of Bali Tshuva. We have a tremendous Tshuva movement, but we have a lot of people are leaving also. A lot of Orthodox are leaving. So it's in both directions it's going. It's hard to predict. Don't know.
Does Rebbe still maintain the position, I believe it was created by the Rav initially, that we still have hard line of no communication or negotiation, I guess, in a sense, with Reform Jews about religion, that we work with them on outside issues, but that when it comes to Judaism, we have a hard line of no contact with them on those sorts of issues?
What do you mean, no contact? We try to convince them that they should keep the mitzvahs. If they invite us to speak in their shul, we should speak in their shul to explain what the Torah is all about, what the mitzvahs are all about. But we're going to have a debate with them. There's nothing to debate about.
But so the Rav's position of no debate means no giving, granting them legitimacy in that sense, but to go into their shul and try and, I guess, like preach to them that they should join Orthodoxy.
Why not?
Well, perhaps
that would be a big finish.
Do you have time for phone call?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Rebbe.
Okay, we should all be healthy. See you tomorrow.
Likewise, Rebbe.
Good.